listening to The Leonard LoPage Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In the early 1930s, Margaret Mead and her husband, Rio Fortune, were doing field work in Papua New Guinea when they met the British anthropologist Gregory Bateson, and the events that follow have become part of the lore of anthropology. They've also inspired Lily King's fourth novel, Euphoria, which explores the personal and professional challenges they faced while studying the remote tribes of the region. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome Lily King back to our show. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, weren't your first three novels set more or less in the present day and not based on any historic facts?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
So what inspired you to write a novel about anthropologists in Papua New Guinea in the 1930s?
I didn't mean to. It was a complete accident. A friend of mine brought me to a used bookstore, and it was going out of business, and there was nothing to buy. Everything was already gone and picked through, and so she'd driven me there, I picked up a copy of a biography of Margaret Mead. And I think it was one of those books that you'd sort of, you know, toss on yourself. And I, some reason, I started reading it, and I got to this chapter where Mead and Rayo Fortune, her husband, were up way up the Sapik River, and they'd been there for a year and a half, and they met Bateson, and they just had this wild 5 months together. And I just thought, this would make such a great novel for someone else, someone who writes those sorts of things. And I put it aside. I was writing Father of the Rain, my third novel, and I just kept on creeping back to it. And as I was writing Father of the Rain, I started doing more reading and more reading, and then I started taking notes and getting ideas, and one thing led to another.
Well, it is a fantastic story. Your main characters are the renowned anthropologist Nell Stone, Nell's husband Fenn, and the British anthropologist Andrew Bankson. But how closely did you base them on Margaret Mead, her second husband Rayo Fortune, and then Gregory Bateson, who became her third husband?
I really meant to base it as much as I could on fact. That was how I meant to write the book. There's really not all that many facts. You don't have dialogues or scenes or she didn't keep a journal as Nell does in the book. And but once I started writing them and writing their scenes and writing their dialogue, they just took on a life of their own, and I couldn't follow the real life story all the way through.
But is that why you changed the names?
Yes. I really needed the freedom. I realized very quickly that I'm really only a novelist. I'm not anything else. And that I just had to stick with that.
Well, when you're writing fiction that's based on actual events, how do you decide what you can change and what you can't?
I sort of made up my own rules. I thought that I had the freedom to do anything as a novelist. And I know that there's sort of a clause about if people are dead, you can write anything you want about them. And I took that very much to heart.
Well, there is a lot written about these people, so you probably have to do a lot of research. And at the back of the book, there's a long list of sources.
Yes.
But you had to also read up, I assume, on anthropology and learn all sorts of things that went beyond the lives of these three people.
Oh, I absolutely did. I had never been to that part of the world, and I didn't go while I was writing the book, and I had to rely on many, many sources.
Why was the study of these tribes so important to the field of anthropology at the time?
New Guinea at that time was the most remote place you could get to. And you could barely get there, and nobody wanted Margaret Mead to go there. They thought it was way too far and way too dangerous.
The feeling was that this was the only place you could find people who were pure.
Exactly. And this notion of the primitive was a very exciting thing for them. Freud, I think, brought this idea of the primitive sort of to the fore and had many theories about what the primitive meant and how the primitive were like children and that sort of thing. And I think Mead partially wanted to disprove some of Freud's theories.
Well, he wrote Civilization and Its Discontents, in which he kind of comes out in favor of civilization.
Yeah. Yes.
In the case of Mead and the others, they were aware of the fact that their very presence was going to change things as well.
Yes.
And you deal with that in the book.
Yes. But yeah, they were. They were, I mean, they were quite aware of that. And yet it wasn't so much in the discourse at the time. And they had to figure these things out as they went, as how exactly they would affect. And I think they all had different approaches to it and different ideas about how they were affecting the people they were studying.
So we have three people with different theories as to what this new field of anthropology requires of them?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and they are, these three characters are from three different countries and with three very different approaches and educations.
Although they all wind up being married. There's a lot in the book about how they were trying to figure out how to study these tribes. Was that process part of what interested you?
Yes. I was fascinated by every single element of what happens when you go to study the tribe. I was fascinated that Mead and her husband had to have 250 porters carrying their stuff all the way up the mountain to settle in. And I thought, what are in those boxes that they're carrying? You know, what are they bringing into the jungle? It was a very different time when, you know, I mean, you hear stories about people going to Africa and bringing their limoges, like in Out of Africa and that sort of thing. And it seemed very, I was interested in that.
Well, when the novel begins, Nell and Fenn have just escaped from the cannibalistic Mambanyo tribe. They meet up with Bankson, who has been studying another tribe, the Kiona, and he introduces them yet to another tribe, the Tam. Are these groups real, or are they based on the actual tribes that they studied?
They're very loosely based. I certainly read everything that they wrote about the tribes they were studying in 1933, and I just drew my favorite parts. I drew from my favorite parts of these tribes.
Well, they want to find the right tribes to study. Why
yes.
was it so important for them to choose the best tribe for their work, and what are they looking for?
Well, I liked this is completely my fiction because I had no idea exactly how they chose the tribes. I read a little bit. I mean, I know they went to one in real life. Margaret Mead and Bateson and Fortune went to one, and the tribe was expecting an attack from ghosts, and so they knew that they had to move on from there. And I think I did read that they didn't like it because it was dark or something. And so I got the impression that maybe they were a little picky about their tribes, and so I played that up a little bit.
Well, it's also, as I said, when anthropology was a fairly young science, and they're all, and as you point out, they all had different views of how to proceed, but they're all trying to make their marks. And
yes.
With a young science, you become one of the key figures in the history of the science.
Yes, yes, very much so. And it was interesting to see the different courses that their paths took in real life.
My guest is Lily King, whose latest novel is called Euphoria. You have Bankson do most of the narrating. Why did you want him to tell this story from his point of view of all the three?
Yeah, I really did mean, as I said, it to be her story. I was going to tell it from her point of view. And then
you could have also have told it from Fenn's point of view. It would
yes.
have been like the good soldier.
No, I know. That was a very tempting thing as well, but it had been done. So I think I originally wrote it in all three of their perspectives after I got rid of the idea of just doing it from hers, because I needed us to see Bankson without them before they met him. But then I wrote that second chapter where Bankson is trying to commit suicide, and I got so much closer into his head. He was just so much more visceral to me than anyone else. And at the end of those three pages, I thought, oh my God, this is completely his story. And so I had to change everything about my idea of the plot and the voice and whose heart we really care about in this novel.
But you do give us Nell's journals, which you say you
mm-hmm.
invented. Now, do we know why Gregory Bateson tried to commit suicide?
He had been there for 2 years. He had no idea what he was doing. I think he was instructed at Cambridge University, and then he was sent out into the field with really very few tools and very little instruction about what exactly he's supposed to be doing there. And so he spent a long time twiddling his thumbs. He needed direction. He needed a mentor. And Margaret Mead was very much a mentor for him.
Nell and Fenn wind up studying the TAM, which is a kind of a feminist society.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have appealed to Margaret Mead?
Yes. I mean, her book, Sex and Temperament, that she wrote after this experience, very much had three tribes. I mean, hers, I downplayed, really, in comparison to what she concluded about these tribes. But she had her first tribe, the Arapesh, were mostly feminine. She called them what we would call in the West feminine. The men and the women were docile and sensitive and caring and raising their children together. And then the Mundugamore, her second tribe, were what we call masculine and extremely violent and always threatening each other. And they kept on saying, when the white people leave, we're gonna really do some damage and see some blood, and all of our problems are resulting from the lack of homicide. And then the third one was the TAM, and that she found to be switched. And so the men were like Western women and the women were like Western men.
There are also mining companies coming into this area.
Yes,
so
yes.
Even if the anthropologists hadn't shown up, life would have changed. And then, mm-hmm. of course, we have a romantic triangle developing among these three people. I remember years later Margaret Mead saying that she believed in serial marriage, that she felt that you should have to renew your license every
yes.
few years. Was she already thinking along those lines here?
Oh, absolutely. She was a free thinker from a very early age. She met her first husband, Luther Cressman, when she was 16. And she told him right away. I mean, he proposed to her very soon, and she said, I'll marry you after I graduate from college, and I do not want to be tied to you sexually. I will have any adventures that I want, and that has to be part of our agreement, and he agreed to it. And she also said, "And if I want a divorce, I want you to give me one easily," and he had to when she met her next husband on the boat home from Samoa.
But then she leaves him as well for Bateson.
Yes.
And the Bateson marriage lasts a long time.
It lasted until I think maybe the official divorce was 52, but I think they were pretty much broken up by 49 or 50.
Were these three also competitive at the same time as they were involved with each other?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that. Certainly Bateson and Mead were much more sort of symbiotic and really helped each other along. I'm not so sure about Ray O'Fortune, to be honest with you. I think he was very threatened by her early success.
Well, in your novel, in one scene, Bankson brings them their mail, and Fenn gets 5 letters. Nell gets 150.
Yes, Mead apparently got many, many letters in the field.
And we get a sense that Nell is much stronger than either of these two men.
Interesting. She's certainly, when the novel opens, she's physically weakened and takes great solace in Bankson's kindness to her. Nell is really the one who knows what she's doing.
But she seems to be always analyzing the people around her, even the white colonials they meet in mm-hmm. town. She's someone who seems to never be able to shut off the working anthropologist side of her brain. But I wondered if that was something that you found in yourself as a novelist.
Oh, that's a good question. I think that's probably true, but I don't think I'm
most good
half
novelist anthropologist at heart, do you think?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think there's something of the novelist and the anthropologist. You know, it's all about stories.
And Margaret Mead told them very well, and that's one of the reasons she became so famous.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Your next book going to be based on historical figures, or are you returning to pure fiction?
I'm not sure.
Meanwhile, we have this one, Euphoria. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press, and I thank Lily King for being back on our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Leonard.